everybody, and welcome to another edition of the AfriCast. My name is Brendan Lotz, and joining me today is Clinton Matos.
Hello, everybody.
And Robin Lichetti.
Howdy.
Second time to the charm, guys, hopefully. We started recording this podcast, and then my audio equipment just died. So hopefully this is the last time we record this today. But yeah, let's jump straight into it. Robin, last night, President Ramaphosa gave us a stern talking to.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So, those who have been following our website, during the pandemic have known that we regularly post updates with regards to the latest statistics, in terms of cases, fatalities, recoveries in the country. Over the past 2 weeks in particular, though, we've seen that the number of new daily infections has been steadily increasing, so much so that in the past 2 days, it's peaked over 4,000 new cases. And that prompted President Cyril Ramaphosa to hop onto Parliament in Pretoria, put a camera in front of him and kind of scold everyone and say that you guys haven't been listening. You guys haven't been following regulations. So you know what? I'm going to increase some restrictions. And specifically, he's doing it for Nelson de la Bay. He also outlined two other hotspot areas, Sarah Bartman and the Garden Route. Those at the stage, or rather the time of recording, aren't being given the stricter regulations. But in the coming days, Health Minister Dr. Zweli Mkhize is going to have a look at those areas, evaluate the situation there, and then make a decision as to whether or not they too will receive stricter regulations. And as far as the regulations go, they seem very much level 2-esque as far as what you can and cannot do. So the curfew has changed. It starts from 10 o'clock in the evening until 4 o'clock in the morning. There are now restrictions as far as the sale of alcohol. That stops on Thursday at 6, I believe, and starts up again at 8 o'clock on the Monday. So over the weekend, you can't purchase your alcohol. Then there are other restrictions as far as gatherings and the amount of people that can be in an area in terms of capacities. And there are a couple more, but those, I guess, are the larger, the broader strokes as far as what people in the Nelson Mandela Bay will have to deal with. So if you don't find yourself in those kind of three areas, those three hotspots that have been identified, that doesn't mean you're out of the clear yet. So, for example, if Gauteng, if there are some hotspots that happen here, the Department of Health will come have a look as well, make an assessment, and then could potentially enforce stricter regulations for that region as well. So, although it obviously sucks for those people that are in the Eastern Cape, these are necessary measures that need to take place. And for those people that are in other provinces, the president has urged that you adhere to regulations, that you take the precautions that have been advised, because as he mentioned at closing off his address last night, the virus does not sleep, the virus does not take a holiday, and neither should we. So please remain vigilant over the coming festive season.
Yeah, especially with the festive season approaching and people wanting to see their families and that sort of thing. Stay safe. I've adopted I'm trying to stay away from people as much as possible until after Christmas, because I would like to see my family and not get COVID-19 or be diagnosed positive with COVID-19. So yeah, just
I'm kind of enjoying it though. Like you know, like over the festive season, you go and visit family that you only see once a year, and yeah, then you have to sit on their couch and make small talk about things that you don't really care about, and then you go and you leave their place and you go to the next family or the next relative. I don't have to do that anymore. I can just zoom. So that's one silver lining, I guess.
Well, then you have to sit in the Zoom call with your entire family. That seems even worse.
Well, then I just go, I lost you guys, and then I disconnect you.
In the background, Robin has the PS5 hooked up. I don't know.
But yeah, folks, please just be safe. I mean, like we're looking good at the moment. We are looking good. In terms of recoveries, things are looking good. I think it's at the moment there are 800,872 confirmed cases total in South Africa versus 739,367 recoveries. So Recoveries are looking good, but that, like you said, Robin, we're not out of the woods yet. Let's just remain vigilant and remain cautious. Wear your masks. It's incredible how a little piece of fabric has turned so many people into babies. It's astounding to me. But yeah, please do wear your masks, folks, and stay safe. Avoid gatherings. I know that there's a propensity for people to flock to the beaches, especially on New Year's Day. Maybe don't do that. Or if you are going to flock to the beaches, spread out. I mean, the beach is big. Don't all need to stand like next to each other. But stay safe.
I'm almost certain that there's going to be a massive spike after the holiday season, and then tougher lockdown restrictions will be put in place. I don't think the government has the stones to put in tight restrictions to limit what people do over the holiday season, because it will make them look like bad guys, even though that's what they should do. And then in January or midway through January, they'll be like, well, you had your fun, guys. There's been a huge spike. Everybody can't go anywhere. We're level 3 or level 4 again.
I mean, are people going to be really disappointed with that? Because being told to work from home during January, I think a few people might not mind that.
Yeah, that it's always a long month when all those debit orders go off, which I'm sure we're touching on shortly.
Yeah, nice segue, Robin.
Hey.
That's what I do.
We're becoming like a YouTube channel or something.
We only, we only need a practice run first. That's all we need.
Right. So on that note, this week I received a message from F&B. Saying, hi, Brendan, your credit card debit order will be processed on your salary date, 15/12/2020, to help you manage your finances during the holiday season. This is strange for a number of reasons. Number one, I have never been paid on the 15th of the month. And number two, I never asked F&B to debit me on the 15th of the month. So with that confusion, I approached F&B and spoke to the chief executive officer at its retail collections division, Kuben Gowden, who gave me some clarity, though I'm going to be honest, it wasn't very clear. Basically, what he said was, we may adjust the debit order date in December, as we know that many organizations pay employees early in December leading up to the festive period. So the idea here is that you get debited on the 15th when you get paid, so that come 1st of January, the debit order doesn't reach an empty bank account. Now, I can understand that, but if, in my instance, you aren't paid on the 15th, that means that you're going to get debited in the middle of the month. Now, I would probably have enough money to pay that debit order, but then I've essentially been debited twice because I get debited on the 1st and I'm being debited on the 15th. So I contacted F&B as a customer through the contact center to try and reverse this. And initially, I was told by a contact center agent that, no, it's fine. You don't need to do anything. Just chill, bro. Nothing's going to happen. Obviously, it was a lot more formal than that. After I insisted to verify that that was the case, I was handed over to F&B's credit card division, who then walked me through the process of moving my debit order back to the correct date. So, I mean, this is just very, very concerning. F&B says that even if the debit order goes off and there's not sufficient funds, you won't incur any penalties. But it's just the cheek of this for me is that a company has just decided on my behalf, without messaging me, without informing me until the point where they've made the decision, that they are going to debit me halfway through the month. Like I said, I understand why they've done this, but to say that, oh, well, many of our customers get debited on the 15th, so we're just going to apply this as a general rule to all of them. No. I mean, what happens if I said, you know what? I have some payment plans with people, so I'm going to have a payment plan with you, F&B. I'm going to pay you R1 every day for the entire year, and that should cover all of my fees, right? I mean, you wouldn't like that, so why do you do it to your customers? This problem since publishing the story, we've noted that a couple of people have had this issue with F&B. When I spoke to the contact center agents, they told me that a couple of people had complained and they had handed over those complaints to management. It just seems so bizarre to make a decision like this without informing your customers, especially F&B, who is so in on the, oh, well, we're a digital bank and use our app for everything. could you not have put through a message to your customers saying, hey, would you like us to debit you earlier in the month? Yes or no? Tap yes or no. I mean, you message me every time I make a transaction on my credit card, even if it's like 10 Rand, you want me to verify that purchase. Can't you verify early debits? It's just so bizarre and aggravating. Yeah,
it just seems like they're chancing it, to be fair.
Especially in 2020. Especially in 2020.
And every bank does BS like this. I mean, I was just talking about the other day, I got an SMS from Nedbank, and they said that they are going to be adding a brand new feature to my account where if a debit order comes in and my account can't cover it, I'll get an SMS. I was like, okay, I've never ever needed that in 20 years of using Nedbank, but okay. Oh, but also we're going to be charging you 10 Rand something every month for this feature you didn't ask for, this feature you didn't approve on, and this feature that is going to be added automatically. They just chant it. They're like, we're sure, you know, even if 90% of people go through the arduous flipping process of calling us and letting us know they don't want it, we're still going to make a lot of money from people who don't. And this feature that probably took 10 minutes to code into their systems. It's infuriating.
I mean, they have enough capacity to send out the SMSs. Couldn't you have just also... And even worse than this is that I'm pretty sure FNB has data on me, right? Like, and a lot of it, because I've been banking with them for many years. I'm pretty sure they could look back on that and go, okay, how many times has this guy been paid on the 15th of the month in December? Never. Okay, maybe we shouldn't debit him on the 15th then. It's just bizarre to me. And while I might be in a position to pay that debit on the 15th, what about the person who isn't? What about the person who now gets debited on the 1st, and then they get debited on the 15th again, and that takes up, like, what? The rest of their salary. What happens to that person? They can't go and reverse it now because, sure, you do need to pay that fee, but, I mean, you weren't expecting to pay it until the end of the month. It's just, like, it's pants-on-head stupid. I said this earlier. It's pants-on-head stupid, and I cannot believe that FNB, this digital bank with a wealth of data at its fingertips, made this call. Sure, many of your customers, even if it's 98% of your customers who get paid on the 15th, what about the other 2%? You're just going to put them in dire straits because many of your customers? Nah, come on.
It does smack a little bit of operating in bad faith,
mm-hmm.
or at least not having trust in your customers.
Yeah.
I understand that they want to secure those debit orders going through because I'm sure there are chances that some will bounce.
Yeah.
But yeah, it just seems like we want to ensure that we get our commissions. If people get irritated by it, so be it. Because yeah. I'm sure the process, regardless of how irritating this process might be for someone, the process of switching to a different bank as a result of it is even far more irritating. So people will just kind of grin and bear it.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm not going to now go and move all my stuff. I mean, I could. I absolutely could. But do I want to go through that rigmarole? Absolutely not. Have to go and build up a new customer profile in another bank. It's a massive, massive issue for me. So, I mean, FNB's got me by the short and curlies. Oh, well. But don't do stuff like this, FNB. I mean, just because I'm a customer doesn't mean I'm going to shut up and take your abuse.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, one and all.
It's time to withdraw money, keep it on our bed.
Oh, yeah. Maybe I should do that. Then they'll never get another debit order.
Don't say it on air, though. People will be like, this guy's got all his money under.
Anyway, Clinton, let's move on to something a bit lighter. Warner Brothers changing how they're releasing their movies. I don't know if this is lighter, but let's chat about it anyway.
It's for some people, and it's very dire move. Movies. It's very dire news for other people. It might be a dire movie. Used to say so. Warner Brothers Studios, which is part of Warner Media, and Warner Media also does HBO Max. That's all important to remember for what we're going to talk about now. Warner Brothers has said that their entire 2021 slate, which is 17 movies, will launch simultaneously on HBO Max, the streaming service, and in theaters. And this is going to start with Wonder Woman 1984 this December on the 25th, which is, flip that soon. It's like just 2 weeks or something like that. So this is big news for a lot of reasons. First of all, most most movie production companies have a lot of big budget blockbuster movies that are done. They're complete. They're ready to go out, but they haven't released them because all the theaters are closed. And even though some theaters are open, it's such a small amount that if they put their movie out there, they won't be able to make a return on investment. And people have said, well, then put it on streaming services. But the same argument came up where these companies were hesitant because they really don't think they can make a return. And Warner Brothers has kind of just thrown the floodgates open and said, listen, we've made all these movies. They cost hundreds of millions of dollars. We're going to put them on HBO Max. And, you know, the chips will fall as they may. It's a really ballsy move. Because not only they might not make their money back from subscriptions of HBO Max, and this also might mean that other movie studios on the same size as Warner Brothers or a lot of the smaller ones might say, okay, we're gonna go the streaming route as well, and we're going to see how it goes. Now, these aren't small movies. Like I said, they're big blockbusters. There's Godzilla versus Kong. There's The Suicide Squad. There's Dune. There's Wonder Woman 1984. Like I said, there's a Tom and Jerry movie even here. There's a new Mortal Kombat movie. There's a new Space Jam movie. There's a lot of things here which a lot of people have worked on and a lot of millions of dollars have gone into. So it's exciting times for us as consumers because we get to experience these movies, but it might be a really bad sign for the theater industry, for the cinema industry, because if people can watch these things from their homes, why would they pay to watch them in the theater? And also the pricing structure here is worth talking about because I think one of the first big movies that did this was Mulan, but Mulan wanted you to have a subscription to Disney Plus and pay, I think it was something silly, like $30. So Warner Brothers has said, nope, as long as you have a subscription to HBO Max, you can get these movies for quote unquote free. Again, you're paying for the subscription and you just get in. When the movies are released, you're in. Now, there's a lot of caveats here. The first one is, again, you need to have a subscription to HBO Max, but this service is not available everywhere. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, it's only available in America and Canada. And these movies from Warner Brothers are only going to be available in America. So even if you have a perfectly legal HBO Max subscription, if you're in Canada, you don't get all of these movies. The other big caveat is that it's not going to be on these services forever. These movies, when they launch on the same day as the theaters, will be available on HBO Max for only 31 days a month. So that means there is some impetus to see these movies while they're still available. They're not just going to be dumped on the streaming services and then left there indefinitely. So I want to talk to you guys. What do you think of the cinema experience? And what do you think of this news? I'll start first just to set the tone here. I really like going to the movies. I think it's a really relaxing experience for me. When I watch movies at home, I feel I'm distracted by other things going on around me. And I don't have the best, you know, multimedia setup. And I understand that it's expensive and you're paying 100 rand for popcorn and it's ridiculous. But for me, I know it's a cliche, but it's my time, right? I go there to relax and to watch a movie. Even if it's not a great movie, it's my time to relax. And I've been missing the theaters, the cinemas a lot this year. And I'm really worried that if they take away the value of the movies going, the movie streaming there on the first day that they're available only in a physical theater, a lot of people will not go and we might not see cinemas in the next 5 years. They might all die, especially in South Africa where the cinemas have been open for the last 2 or 3 months now, but in limited capacity and they've been very quiet because people don't want to go watch a movie during a pandemic, which is very fair. So that's my say on it. I think Brendan is going to go next. He's going to have a different opinion.
So I don't like the cinema. I mean, shouldn't be a surprise to anybody. I'm not a fan of it. I like having control over my movie going experience, and that will never change. But that's not to say that I want cinemas to disappear. Lots of people enjoy cinemas, like yourself, Clinton. I know that you quite enjoy that experience, and I would never want to take that away from you. Do I think that this is going to kill cinemas? I don't know. I mean, like you said, there are a few caveats to this offer, I suppose you could call it, in that it's only available in the US and only available for 31 days. Now, granted, if you have HBO Max, that's a really compelling offer. I mean, if we had it here, I would definitely be signing up for it to watch like Godzilla vs. Kong, because I love myself some monsters fighting monsters. Also Space Jam, which I didn't know was a thing, a new legacy. Okay. But yeah, this would be very compelling for me. Do I think that it's going to kill cinemas? I don't think it will, mainly because of Oscars. People want Oscars for their films. And right now, I think the Academy still insists that your film is released in theaters. So I don't think it'll kill cinemas yet, but it does raise an interesting point. And I don't know. We saw, what was it? What was that movie? Mulan on Disney yeah. Plus, which you had to pay a premium for to watch. I really don't know. You know, it's hard to say, but I think that this is. Sorry, got something in my throat there. I think that this is definitely a sign of a shift in how movies are launched. Whether this holds true for like marquee titles at some places remains to be seen. I mean, we saw things like The Irishman being released on Netflix last year. Was it this year? I can't remember.
It's been a long year.
Time is a circle. And yeah, I mean, that seemed to do quite well, but I really don't know. I don't think it will be the end of cinemas, at least for the next 5 years. But I think that folks are going to start looking at cinema releases and going, do we really need them? I would argue that we do, because there's a whole industry built off around that, and getting rid of that industry, I think, is kind of a low blow, especially during a time of a pandemic where some theaters have tried very hard to remain open overseas and here as well. That having been said, I don't see many locals going to the cinema these days, or at least not as many as I saw pre-COVID. Yeah, it's an interesting question, Clinton, and I don't have an answer, unfortunately.
Robin? So we give it to Robin, I wanted to say another thing you mentioned there is that something I forgot to mention right at the top is this is a very odd year when it comes to movies, because a lot of these titles that were already done that Warner Brothers has, they were shot pre-COVID. And they have just been sitting around gathering dust. They don't need any more editing. They don't need any more anything. They're ready to go. They are in the chamber. They just needed a proper, you know, release route, because these companies were afraid that if they did them through streaming, they wouldn't be able to make back enough money. But now what's going to happen when we go into 2021, when these companies don't have these movies because they couldn't shoot most of this year? And even if COVID when the vaccine comes, if it is very successful and wipes out and people can make movies again, we might have the audience where the movies will make less money, and we might see these studios do away with $100 million movies, and they're going to say to filmmakers, listen, each movie makes less money, so we're going to put less money into each movie. So we might see this big slate of 17 movies where there's a new Warner Brothers movie every 3 weeks. We might not see that again, because these are movies from a past time, from pre-COVID. So I just wanted to also mention that, Robin. What do you think about all of this?
Yes, I'm kind of stuck in between two camps here. Like Clinton, I am very much a fan of the cinema and the movie going experience. I think about recent films that I watched, like Us, or even something like Blade Runner 2049, which was directed by the same guy that's doing Dune. Those are movies that lend themselves to being watched in a theater, I believe. I think the scale deserves something like that. Yeah. I know I sound a lot like Christopher Nolan right now, but I think given the time, the effort, the amount of money that's poured into a film like that, it needs the best possible platform it can. And I'm not necessarily sure that streaming services are that. On the other hand, I do understand where Warner Brothers is coming from. They've, again, invested a lot of money into, one, its streaming service, and two, the films that have been gathering dust. They have to get them out some way. And doing a simultaneous release on HBO Max and in cinemas, I understand that. But I don't want this to be a game changer per se. I don't want other studios to be launching their own streaming services and then doing similarly exclusive launches on the streaming platform. That to me doesn't make sense, because then the consumer then has to deal with multiple streaming services, which is already a problem as is. To add more studios to the mix, I think is going to even make the situation even more confusing. So from that perspective, I think that for 2021, it makes sense. I just personally don't want to see this be the trend post 2021. And I think when it comes to the cinema industry as a whole, I think it's less about the streaming services and more about the impact that COVID will have. The only reason we're in this scenario now is because of COVID. And I think people will only stay, will more likely to stay away from cinemas because of COVID than they will because a movie's on a streaming service, if that makes sense. So I think the longer COVID is around, the greater threat that is to the cinema industry than streaming services are.
Yeah. I mean, like, something else I want to just touch on is the reputation that streaming releases have. I mean, I know I mentioned The Irishman earlier, but I mean, I think that's an outside, that's an exception to the rule in terms of cinema or streaming releases. I know I'm here talking specifically about Netflix here, but if you look at something like, what was that movie with Will Smith and the trolls, Bright? Like, that was a very, very disappointing release. And I wonder if things like that and flops like that kind of lend themselves to people assuming that the quality of films on streaming services aren't that good. Like, I know that this is a different case because these are films that are produced by Warner Brothers. But I do wonder whether that stigma isn't attached to streaming platforms, that, oh, it's kind of low quality. And I mean, let's not beat around the bush. Netflix has some really great content that it's produced, but on the same token, there's also a lot of bad content that it's produced as well.
Yeah.
Particularly Bright here, I'm referring to. And yeah, I don't know whether the world's ready to just accept that, oh, the next big summer blockbuster is on Netflix. You know, I don't know if the world's ready for that. Clinton?
Yeah, no, the other problem is, when the hell are we going to get all this stuff?
Yeah, because that's another question.
Like I said, this is an American idea. And while we do have theaters open right now, let's say we get to 2022, right? And theaters are just dead because they couldn't keep up with streaming services. But then the movies only release on streaming services in America or just America and Europe. Is the South African cinema industry just going to be knocked back to years prior where we get things months later? I don't think anyone wants that. No. Even for people who don't like going to the movies, they don't want to then wait a few months to see that movie.
Can you imagine if, like, the next slate of Marvel films starts coming out a month after the rest of the world? There will be blood in the streets. Yeah, because of the spoilers.
The other problem is also, we used to get Marvel movies like a week before America sometimes.
Yeah.
So it would be a real slap in the face if they reversed that. And then there's also the whole moral quandary of, if we're getting it months late, people are just going to pirate it, right?
Yeah, I hate to agree with you there, Clinton, but I have to agree with you, because that is sort of what happens, is if you can't get something easily, people are going to pirate it.
What
I hear people have been pirating that The Mandalorian. I've never heard of it before myself.
It's hilarious. It's an unspoken thing. If you go and look on South African Twitter or Facebook, all the South Africans are talking about The Mandalorian, but, you know, Disney Plus isn't available in South Africa.
Very odd, guys. Very odd.
Very weird one. Very weird.
I've just checked as well, and Disney Plus is definitely not available in South Africa.
Equal way to...
I mean, it was the same thing with Game of Thrones.
What's going on? Are they? Wasn't that always on DSTV though?
I remember watching only a couple of hours later. So when people were tweeting about it straight after,
those people are just flying to America, watching it, and coming back. That must be it. Yeah. People wouldn't just break the law like
No, obviously not. South Africans are way better than that.
Even though it's also illegal to fly into another country. So it's, you can break one law or the other. You have to choose.
But yeah, I mean that is an interesting point, because I think that piracy has kind of taken a back seat in South Africa, especially because the likes of Netflix are available. DStv launched its streaming service this week, which is just way too much money. But I mean, there are options, and it is easier to sign up for one of these services and stream it legally than it is to download it and spend however many hours it takes to download a movie these days. I have no idea. Yeah, but like you say, if I can't watch the next Suicide Squad movie or Space Jam, A New Legacy, which I definitely want to watch. I'm really interested in this now that it's been mentioned. I feel like my only option is to pirate it. Like, I know I could wait for it to come onto DVD or rent it through Google Play Movies, but I mean, that's not easy. I'm not saying that I am going to pirate. I'm just saying that the chances are high that I will. Please don't come for me, FBB. But yeah.
Is there a chance that someone like DStv could bundle HBO Max into a streaming package? Because all HBO properties in South Africa appear on Showmax, for example.
It wouldn't surprise
me. So is there a chance
me.
For them to bundle it? Because that seems like a really smart move in my opinion.
I mean,
you mentioned how expensive the packages are. Yeah. If I'm getting Netflix and HBO Max bundled into my package, that makes a lot more sense.
I mean, like, we're going to go a little bit off reservation here, but I think that might be where MultiChoice's head is at. Primarily because of the new Explorer, which is internet only. So it connects to internet and you stream through it. So I think that might be what their play ultimately is. And like you say, Clinton, Robin, is they already have much of the HBO slate licensed to them. I mean, if you go on to Showmax, for instance, you'll just see a wave of HBO content. So it might make sense for them to do something like that. And somebody like MultiChoice probably has the monetary clout to be able to discuss a deal like that, especially if it's involving Netflix and that sort of thing. I mean, I hate to say it, but watch MultiChoice become the de facto choice for streaming in South Africa in a couple of years.
Can't wait to pay 1,000 rand every month.
I mean, it's already 1,000 rand for DStv premium streaming.
Yeah, but I don't pay for that because that's boxes.
But yeah, I mean, that's a really interesting thought, Robin. And I mean, they do already bundle, I think it's Netflix and Amazon Prime.
Or is it Amazon Netflix? Prime, I'm too sure. I think it's just Netflix.
Yeah, I think it's Netflix. Netflix and Showmax. That's what I'm thinking of. Into their ultimate package. So, I mean, it could work.
Yeah, it makes sense. Because let's be fair, the only thing people really need DStv for is sport. I think we've mentioned it quite a few times in previous podcasts. You have sport, you have Netflix, you have HBO Max. I think you're pretty much sorted.
Hell, imagine they add Disney Plus to that offering as well.
You know what?
I'm happy to see Mandalorian
here, right? I'm going to start a new company where you can get HBO Max, Disney Plus, Netflix, right? I'm going to bundle them into a package. Then I'm going to put that package onto a network, and then I'm going to sell that network to people. And then they can flip through the streaming services like channels.
So,
and then they can just pay me. And maybe
I think that will work, Clinton. But what we should do is we should also make it so that you get that feed from like a satellite or something, so that you're not using your internet data.
Yes, it's perfect.
Let's put it into a box as well, I think.
Yes.
Yeah. And then,
you actually use your laptop or anything.
And then we can sell the Okay, all right, this joke is going too far. Obviously, we're just describing how regular TV... We've come full circle, isn't that right? We've just come full circle now. To back to terrestrial television where everything is curated. Maybe without adverts, though.
No, we still have adverts.
We need to pay people.
I wonder, does DStv's streaming package include adverts?
Well, you access the regular television.
Then it would definitely still have adverts.
I, I'm just guessing. I actually don't know 100%.
I'm not paying $800 to test, though. So, multi-choice.
When you, for example, use ketchup, it sometimes starts with ads as well. So
are you kidding me?
Yeah, if you check out some ketchup series, it obviously depends. Every now and then, it'll start with an ad, and then your show will play. So, it wouldn't surprise me if there are ads involved for the stream service.
I know Amazon Prime plays adverts for its own content before some shows, but even that is like, I can understand, because sometimes you do see something that's pretty interesting through those adverts, like Truth Seekers, which is very scary. Don't watch it. But yeah, I don't know. This whole thing, I think Warner Brothers has opened up a can of worms here. And I won't be surprised if we see some Hollywood bigwigs, Martin Scorsese particularly, complaining about this and saying that streaming services are not the future of cinema releases or cinematic releases. And yeah, I expect Hollywood to respond to this en masse in the coming days. Because I can already see a couple of bigwigs not particularly liking this idea of putting your masterpiece that you've worked for months on a tiny 16:9 screen.
That Warner Media exec kind of alludes to the fact that HBO Max has now changed the way that cinema or the way that movies are made.
Yeah.
I don't know if it does change it, I don't think it would have changed it for the better.
Yeah.
And that's the unfortunate thing. So, like Clinton alluded to, this kind of slate of next year, we're in 17 blockbuster films in a year. It could be the last time we ever get something like that.
Mm. I mean, especially as Clinton also said, is that like these are movies that they've had in their back pocket for a while now because they couldn't release them during 2020 or couldn't finish them in 2020. What happens next year? Are we just going to have a drought of content? I think Netflix has been working hard to produce content, but I don't think it's nearly as much as they've been able to work on in previous years. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see what the next year plays out like. This is a tough one. I don't want the cinema industry to disappear, because even though I don't like cinemas, that's not really for me to decide. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to wrap it up from us this week. Thank you so much for joining me. Unfortunately, Clinton's microphone has died on us right at the end of our second attempt at recording this podcast, which has been successful. Rejoice. In the meantime, if you are doing something this weekend, stay safe. If you're in Nelson Mandela Bay, sorry that you're on harsher lockdown. We will heed your lesson. But yeah, thanks so much for joining us. From myself, Brendan Lodge, cheerio. From Robin Lee Chetty.
Take care.
And from Clinton Matos, if you can still hear us.
Bye.
Goodbye. We'll see you next week. Cheers.
Sorry, the number you have dialed is not in service at this time.